Showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. Friday edition, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Ian Safar hanging out back there as well. Jojo, how we doing? What's up?
excuse me there, buddy. It's a Friday, man. It's excited. It's going to be a good time this weekend with the Nashville Cats on Sunday. I mean, it's just shaping up to be the best weekend ever. Dallas and Pike's looking good over there.
I finally went through there the other day. It's not that bad. I mean, it is different, but it's like
you have to pay attention.
It's a little bit of a mind bleep.
Yes.
Because I'm like, where am I? Like, I have no idea.
It's something. So be careful when you go through there. I mean, we like different new things, and that's what that is. So just be careful driving through there.
You know, I am I'm also, like, fascinated by closed, abandoned roads. And, like, you know, when you drive by, like, the old part, it's like, man, it's so crazy. We were just driving on that. Now we're not.
It's something over there. I mean, there's so much construction and orange barrels everywhere. So if you're having to go to the airport, pack some patience.
You know what? Construction on Donaldson Pike is just like our lives because we're always under construction.
We are. That's a good one, man.
Isn't that good? Right, that's there. Well, there's orange barrels around my heart.
they're true. Today, let me get it out of the way. Not that, Dr. Crane. Something else that drives me crazy two times a year. You guys already know what it is.
Yep. See, I was ready for this. I was ready for this because I looked it up. I'm like, I think it's this week.
Already heard it this morning on TV. Folks, today is not the longest day of the year. Now, I've had some people chirp at me like, there's 8 extra seconds. My watch says 12 to 12. It's 24 hours every day. Today's not the longest day of the year. Let's get it out of there.
Hey.
Today's the longest day of sunlight. That's it. Not the longest day of the year.
Joe, you should know this. You get eight extra seconds. That's kind of a big deal.
For Rick Pitino, it is. So, let's stop it. Today's not the longest day of the year. And December's not the shortest day of the year. So I feel better now.
The solstice.
Thank you.
The summer solstice.
So today is officially summer.
It sure is. Welcome. Now that means that the daylight gets a little bit shorter here on out, right?
Why do you want to do that? Let's just take in today.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking. How the science works.
I'm the dumbest guy you know, so don't ask me a lot of things. So, yeah, let's just embrace today.
Second dumbest.
Let's embrace today.
There's some dumber people.
Not many, but yeah.
We do have a packed show today. Going to cover a lot of different ground. Chris Sanders is going to join us at 9:15. We didn't really get his thoughts on mini camp and all that stuff, so we'll do that. At 9:30, we're going to talk to Michael Orr. How about that? They got an event going on with NFL alumni that he's a part of, so we'll talk to the former Titan and Raven and Ole Miss star coming up then. At 10, Greg Wyshynski will put a bow on the Stanley Cup Final and kind of look ahead to the Predators free agency and the draft, which is coming up. The draft's next week. I can't believe that.
Is it really?
It is. And then at 10:30, Sean Henry's going to join us because you mentioned the Cats. They're in Clarksville. Plus, the Predators have a lot of cool events going on. So we're just going to cover a lot of different things today.
I like it. So let's do it, man.
Do it. Let's hit it. Da-da-da. We got him already.
What?
He's flustered.
Dr. Crane, what's more pressing than the final countdown?
Keeping us on the air.
Going to the bathroom?
That too.
No.
It's possible.
No.
I mean, not for me. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah. No, it could be.
All right. We are 64 days out. That's the countdown to the start of the college football season. So when you think there's no hope, we got hope. 64 days. So with that, we always say, what is your favorite number 64? I know we're in the 60s, and these numbers right through here, a lot of people are like, I don't know. There is a great number 64 that Sean Henry, if you're listening right now, you know exactly who I'm talking about. Number 64, my favorite number 64, Jim Burt with the New York Giants. He was the guy that wore the jersey so tight. The 6 was stretched out. The 4 was stretched out. That's my famous favorite number 64.
So can I ask this question?
Yes, sir.
With it being Friday, could some 63s and 62s be thrown in?
Yeah, if you want to.
Because 63 for me, Mike Munchak.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's the first one that comes to mind for me. A 64, that's a little tougher.
Hall of Fame-wise, there's Joe DeLaMalure, played in the NFL. Jerry Kramer, Randall McDaniel, played for the Vikings. Great player. George Blanda wore number 64. And Dr. Crane's favorite quarterback, Y.A. Tittle, wore number 64.
Incredible. Incredible. Really? Back in the day.
Yeah, they could wear any number back in the day. And then they said, all right, you can only wear these, and these. So, yes, number 64 to do that. I'm trying to think. I always go back to colleges, you know, in Knoxville, who's a 64, 63, or 62, you want to throw out there. Only 62, and 62 in the Hall of Fame, only two guys at number 62, Jim Langer and Charlie Trippi. That guy's crazy.
He's trippy.
Big time. So that's it.
Hit that mic, man.
I'd like to.
Honorable 63, Mike Ribeiro.
I don't know if he's honorable, but yeah.
Honorable mention.
Was he 63?
He was.
He was the skinniest professional athlete I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was something. That's for sure. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Pacers absolutely dominate Oklahoma City to force game 7. The Pacers needed that. They needed a performance like that. But I'm worried now, if you're pulling for the Pacers, like a friend of mine is, that did you use it all up going into back to Oklahoma City on Thunder?
Hold on.
On Sunday.
You have a friend that's a Pacers fan?
I sure do. She is born and raised in Indianapolis, Indiana. Got any other questions?
Does she have a Pacers shirt?
Yeah.
Does she talk Pacers when they were terrible?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Does she own a pacemaker?
No.
Okay.
All right, just making sure, because this is bandwagon time.
I know. Okay. Yeah.
All right. She passes. All right.
Yeah, she's from there.
I need to hear it. Like the Alabama fans, when you say, who was the coach before Nick Saban? You're not an Alabama fan. Just stop it right there. All right, good then. Passes the test.
5593, a 63 Stanley Cup winner, Brad Marchand, who just won it. It's good. Oh, here we go. Ben says, it's technically the longest day of the year because it's tied for first with the other days.
Thank you, Ben.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
Al says, I was told that today is Chase and Big Joe's longest show of the year. Help us all.
Every show is
longest. We're going 8 seconds longer, which is a really big deal.
Yeah, it is. A huge deal. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for getting that out there, folks.
Yeah.
So any TV anchor or the weather people love to say that too as well. They always get it out there. And so it's not. Today's not the longest day of the year. Every day's the same.
615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, yeah, game 7 on Sunday.
I don't watch NBA. We know this.
I know.
But I'll watch game 7s because
or not.
It's not every day you roll up on a game 7. I don't mind it at all.
Yeah. Sunday night, Oklahoma City. Yeah, right. I mean, game 7's like
the two best words in sports. Game 7.
How long? This series has been 2.5 weeks, right?
Months, actually. 2.5 months. Started in April.
It's been 2 weeks yesterday.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Game 7 of the Cup Final would have been tonight had it gotten that far.
It's just odd. Hockey in late June, or mid-June.
I will say this, in keeping up with what the and we'll ask Greg Wyshynski this, what the Florida Panthers have been up to the last couple days since winning the Stanley Cup, you might could trick them into a Stanley Cup game 7 because they're so out of it right now.
Are they?
Oh, they're on another. They've beat that poor cup to hell.
I mean, I guess I would too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's got a chip in the top of it and like dented at the bottom.
What, you know, this is a question for another day. We'll do it next week. But where would you take the cup?
Because
you get 24 hours, right?
Yeah. You know what would have been so cool back in the day? Taking it to Opryland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Walking around.
Yeah.
Is there a time frame like 8 a.m. to 8
a.m.?
Yeah,
you kind of work it out. Okay. Like, and, you know, one of the keepers will show up and hang out with you all day with it.
Tootsies?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably just take it honky-tonkin'. I mean, if I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be fun.
I'm trying to think. You want to be different, and I don't know.
I'd take it to Loveless. You know, that would mean something to me.
Okay, that's so good.
Take it out to Loveless. Take it to the where I live, you know, all that stuff. I mean, I don't know.
Dr. Crane, you probably, or Father Ryan.
No, I had an idea. You know, in Joe Dirt, that giant meteor that falls from the sky.
Yeah.
Could put it in a little red wagon and just, you know, eat fries out of the top of the cup. That'd be pretty cool.
And then you'd find out that it was just frozen space poop.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, but this is the Stanley Cup, though. It's different.
That's
so
true.
So you'd put in the, like a little red rider wagon or what those things called?
And just walk it down the sidewalk.
Well, okay. All right.
I have nowhere special to take it. I wanted to feed it pizza. No. Doesn't eat.
You what? Stop. You have no place special in your heart to take something? Come on.
Not really.
That you would take it to Nani's.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the family compound. Yeah, I stay there. Yeah. That's about it.
But nowhere out makes
the
you
family
smile.
Compound.
Yeah. She's my neighbor, so we just call it the compound.
Father Ryan, the campus, doesn't make you smile?
Nah, there's not much special to it. It's just like a turf field, baseball field,
no,
some school.
No, I mean the school. I mean, just overall.
I would take it that far, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd let them get a little glamour, sure.
I'd walk in that place, like, be like, yeah, look at this. Stanley Cup.
I got a great joke, but I cannot say it on air. I apologize.
I got three places I'd take it at Father Ryan. And that'd just be to certain, you know, classrooms. Yeah. One, for sure, Coach Simpson. Legendary wrestling coach. Coach Dueling. And, you know, if Rector was still there, probably Rector's office. But that's about it.
Okay.
That guy I could think of off
the
top of my head.
Now, look, you went from having nowhere to go to having three places to go.
Well, you kind of forced
find the gratitude.
You forced the idea of going to a school. So, all right, might as well.
I didn't force anything.
1652 says, I would take it straight to Magic City in Hotlanta. Eat wings out of it? Is that what you do?
What's Magic City?
It is a gentleman's club. that is known
for hot wings?
It is known for their wings and obviously some other things.
And legs.
The legs and thighs and breasts.
Oh, yeah! Yes! Oh, that's awesome!
It's Friday, folks.
I love it.
Coming up next, we'll talk with Chris Sanders, get his thoughts on some Titan stuff and all of that. Do that on the other side. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. On this Friday, you hear this and you think about one man. He's a great man at Montgomery Bell Academy. Christopher Dwayne Sanders joins us now.
Oh.
Our favorite, our forever Titans wide receiver. Chris, how you doing?
Man, I'm actually doing good. Had a good night's sleep, man. Last night I watched some of my favorite shows. Like, I don't know if y'all watched The Wall or Family Feud. And press my luck, man. Hey, oh, love it. Had a great
Game
night
Show season. Network is where it's
oh
at.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best.
So good. We're in that point now where minicamp is out of the way. And I want to start with that. I thought, look, we're not going to find out a whole lot. We may think we are, but we're not going to find out a whole lot when it comes to minicamp. I thought Cam Ward looked fine, but I didn't think he, you know, really blew me away or anything. But what was kind of some of your impressions of Cam Ward in his first minicamp?
You know, I went to watch him a couple of weeks ago, and I just wanted to watch how he was going to handle the pressure. How was he going to, you know, win over his teammates? And just watching him win over his teammates, I thought was really, really good. And there's two things that I loved that he did. Number one is he looked comfortable out there. I mean, when I say comfortable, I'm not saying he made all the right reads or made all the right choices in throwing the football. But just the comfort level that he has with his coaches, the comfort level that he has with his receivers, the comfort level that he, when he's going against the defense. And then the second thing, his decision-making was pretty good. I mean, I looked at the situation when they went 7-on-7 in the red zone, and he's making his decision before the ball is even high. So those are the couple of things that I really, really love about Cam Ward.
I'll tell you this, too. Joe and I were at a professional fighters league last week, and Will Levis was sitting in front of us. Some of the other Titans were there. J.C. Latham was there, Tony Pollard, and a few others. And I was really impressed because there was a point where he was introduced and the crowd was very mixed, but he smiled. He kind of took it in stride. And anybody that came up to him, he shook their hand, he took a picture, he signed an autograph. He did everything you would expect him to do. I know this has got to be a difficult situation for him, but at least on the outside, it seems like he's handling it correctly.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough situation because last year you were the guy, and the year before that you were supposed to be the guy, then all of a sudden they go draft, you know, a number one draft pick. I mean, listen, it is. Listen, I don't care what anybody says, that is a tough situation. I remember in 1998 when they went and drafted Kevin Dyson, then they brought Yancey Thigpen, and I went from starting to being now to the number three or the number four. But I had two choices. I got a choice to get better or I had a choice to get better. So what I did is I had to make sure my body language didn't show that I was upset. My body language couldn't show that I was mad at the coaches because inside, I'll be honest with you, inside I wanted to fight everybody. But as a professional, I had to get better and master my craft. And I think Will Levis is doing a pretty good job because inside, when you're a competitor, you want to win. You want to be the starter. But the way you handle things is handle it as a professional and do and master your craft. And I think that's exactly what Will Levis is doing.
Chris Sanders.
My guy!
You ready?
How you doing, man?
Oldie but a goodie.
You know, that's why I do. Was your hands in the air, like you don't care. I'm in the kitchen dancing. You mind if I didn't throw your hands in the air?
God, I love this song. You're a worse singer than
that
I am.
That is the best song. Hey, the only thing is, I wouldn't wear it here, though. I wouldn't wear the cup thing.
No, it's called a cod piece, and we need you to wear it every time. We need you to wear it Sunday at the Cats game.
Hey, with my suit on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it'd be epic on that.
Hey, I will get handcuffed if I walked in there like that.
Yes, you would. But my God, the pictures. I was talking. I got friends who coach college football. You remember when? You reported. When did you report to Ohio State? What time of year?
Oh my gosh, that was like I think in August.
Yeah, so
it was early August. Yes.
So you know, guys now June 1st, they report they graduate high school, they go straight to college.
Yeah,
and they're there. Yeah. So the benefit. So this ties into Cam Ward. So the benefit of going on June 1st, you get him in there, you get him acclimated. You remember when we showed up in August to play? I didn't know a soul. Yeah. I'm homesick. I miss my mom. I want to go. So with Cam Ward, you know, he's been to three different schools. Now he's at a fourth place playing football.
Yeah,
I think the moving around, starting school early, coming in June, getting acclimated, that's so beneficial. Because, Chris, when I got sent home at summer, they're like, all right, here's your summer running program. Please do it.
Absolutely.
Do you know when I did the summer running program? Like July 25th.
Before.
Right. So I think it's good to be around all that.
Man, it is, because now you get to be familiar. You can understand how the coaches tick. You can get the playbook and know exactly what you're doing. You get to know your different teammates. You get to know how the veterans work. You get to get in the weight room, know the strength and conditioning coach. You get to know all those things. But when I came in the summertime, all they did was hand me a playbook and like, you on your own. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know the coaches. I don't know the players. I'm looking at all these big old giant guys that I saw playing at Ohio State. So when I walked in, number one, I was scared. Number two, I had a bad haircut. I had no good looking clothes. I got talked about. But once with Cam Ward, once he got in there, so now it's like riding a bike when camp starts. Why? Because he's done it already. He knows the coaches. He knows his players. He knows the playbook. So now you're just building upon of what he just was doing.
Exactly. You know, like when I showed up my first day in college, I showed up the day, we had dinner, and then the next day we did a thing called a 3-hour imaginary game where you had to run like 20 yards, 10 yards, It took 3 hours. And I didn't know anybody. I didn't know any of my teammates. I knew one coach. It was awful.
I didn't know anybody. But here's the crazy part. Is the funny thing is we showed up, we had our team meeting, and I'm sitting way in the back. Then all of a sudden they give us a playbook, and my coach was Mike Stock. He said, here's your playbook. Then the next day we had a 300-yard shuttle. I'm like, what? I'm like, wait a minute. We got to ease into this thing. We were getting tested to see if we were in shape. And then you got the veterans that are yelling. You got the coaches that are yelling. You got, you know, all these guys are just going hoopla. And I'm just in the back like, what?
Right.
What am I doing?
So I don't mind it. I don't mind that the guys get there early. Because what would you do summer anyway? You get in trouble. So the fact that these guys are there. So like a Cam Ward being with the Titans, he's acclimated. He knows the coaches. He knows how to get the facility. He knows his way around. And I hope the rest of them are staying in town this summer, because now they're all on the same page.
Yeah, because you want to. It's all about how do you build. You want to build relationships, and the way you build relationship is spending time with each other. I think it's phenomenal. I mean, it's not nothing out of the norm. I mean, yes, they're staying here because you have a quarterback, you have wide receivers that want to win. You have an organization that had two dismal seasons, a couple of dismal seasons, but now you got to figure out a way to win. And how do you win? You got to start to do things different. You got to build relationships. You got to do things that you've never done before. Get into the meetings early in the morning. You know, spend time with your receivers, looking at film. You know, all those things that you didn't do before, you got to do something different to get the different results. So I think it's a great job, it's great leadership, and that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans need.
Talking with Chris Sanders. Real quick, Chris, yes. You know, I look at kind of some of the stats that came out of these open practices in minicamp, and one that was Chigakonkwo caught 13 passes in the five open practices, which was the most of anybody. That's great. It doesn't mean anything. It does show you that the rookie quarterback is doing what all rookie quarterbacks do, and that's relying on the tight end. So is that something to pay attention to going into training camp of the chemistry between Chig and Cam Ward?
I mean, I think it is. I mean, because if you have a situation to where you're in 7-on-7 or you're in team – and, you know, he might misread one of his reads. He could always go to his security blanket, which is the Tennessee Titans. Because if you look at, you know, when I played with Steve McNair, if something was real gray, if something that he really didn't understand, he would always rely on Frank Wycheck because that was his security blanket. So now you're going into camp. Now it's going to ramp up even more. It's going to be intensified even more. So now if he panics or feels something that's uncomfortable, he can rely to Chigakonkwo. Why? Because it's been a security blanket in camp.
Chris, great stuff as always. Have a fantastic weekend.
Man, I appreciate it. Love y'all so much. Y'all have a good one, guys.
We'll see you Sunday.
Okay, sounds good. Bye-bye.
Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. Coming up next, we talk to another former Titan. Michael Orr is going to join us. We'll tell you what he is up to on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Here on this Friday, coming up tomorrow from noon until 4, in collaboration with Belmont University, New Life Center, and Omega Psi Phi, the NFL alumni are doing a training camp for dads. And one of those alumni, Michael Orr, is on the line with us now. Michael, good to talk to you again. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we always enjoy talking to you because it usually means that you're doing something to give back to the community. And once again, that's what you and the NFL alumni are doing. This is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's something that's important to me and giving back, you know, especially to the generations behind me. It's fatherhood. It's a training camp for dads and fatherhood and how important that is. You know, I'm so aware and try to be, have that in the back of my mind whenever I'm doing something because, you know, I was one of those, you know, kids that didn't grow up with a father and needed it dearly, you know, as I, took on the path to be successful. I was lucky enough to, you know, get some things done and keep my head down, but you know, having a mentor and something like that in my life early on, you know, that would have been very important to me mentally.
So what are some things that, you know, you read training camp, it's like you're going to have them, you know, jump roping and running laps. Like what all are you guys going to be doing tomorrow at the Curb Event Center?
Well, basically, you know, if you have kids, if you have family, you talk to dads and everybody has the same problems. And, you know, we're going to talk through a bunch of those things and, you know, hey, who knows? We might run some laps. We might do some push-ups, you know, because, you know, that leads to, you know, less anxiety dealing with your kids and, you know, making it easier. But, no, we're going to, you know, just raise awareness and talk about how important it is to reach out and talk to each other and, you know, bounce ideas off of one another and, you know, just continue to be a better parent, a better father. And like I said, it's very important. And there's so many young men and young girls out there, young boys and girls, boys in particular, who are very important in what I talk about. You know, they need dads and fathers in their lives more than ever, especially the times right now. So we'll just talk about those things and just, you know, the ideas and, you know, how to keep making this thing better for everyone.
I absolutely love it. Michael Orr is joining us on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Michael, you are a Super Bowl champion. I always ask this question to people that have won a Super Bowl. Where is your Super Bowl ring?
My Super Bowl ring, it's in my closet in my safe, actually. I take it out every now and then. I don't wear it too much. Those things are so huge, so, you know, I might bring it tomorrow and wear it to events and different things like that. But, you know, I definitely, you know, bring it out.
Yeah.
Good events, for sure.
Yeah, the reason I ask is you bring that out to a bunch of kids who are, you know, who are in the 10th, 11th, 12th grade, and, you know, they see that, and you say, all right, you show them, pull it back and say, you want one of these? Here's what you need to do. I'm telling you, does that not get their attention, right?
That's the goal. That's the goal, man, and that's what I always say, you know, when I talk about things, that if I would have had someone like me to come around and just to be able to touch. And, man, you're talking about the motivation that would have gave me. I would have said to myself, okay, wow, it's possible. Let me put my head down. Let me do what the coach say. Let me do what the teachers say. Let me do what my parents say. And I'm going to get after this thing. So, you know, you when it's tangible, when you can see it, you start to believe it, you know it's there.
Yeah.
And you continue to do the right thing, man. And day after day, you know, the process seems so long, but it's really not. But if you have something that you can see that's there, and you know that end goal, man, it makes that journey so much easier.
It does. You know, I tell people in my life, you know, besides my mom, two things that saved me were the Lord and football. And I'm, you know, like you, I mean, football gave you direction, it gave you discipline, and it gave you accountability, did it not?
It also, when I started playing varsity football eighth grade, we were terrible. That's the only reason I started on the team. But it gave me something to be a part of, and it gave me a sense of that togetherness and something that I can, you know, that can hold me accountable. I knew someone was counting on me to be there, and that's one thing that they gave to me. And, man, I tell the story all the time. We lost game after game that my eighth grade year, and that was my first time year playing organized football. And after about 6 or 7 weeks, I'm looking around the football guys walking around the school. They weren't wearing their jerseys on Friday. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I'm wearing my jersey every Friday. I'm proud. Even though we're not winning, I'm proud. And, man, I was just happy to have that jersey on my back. And, you know, it built, you know, toughness, and even, you know, losing all those games. Moving forward, I don't care if we were up 50 to nothing. Man, until that clock hit zero, I was worried that we might lose. So,
right.
You know, that's what sports does to you. And if you don't, that's what I tell young people, if you don't make it, if you don't, you know, go first, it can be just high school or whatever it is. It builds something different inside you that makes life way easier than it, you know, than it's tough. But, man, that being a part of a team atmosphere and others holding you accountable and knowing that, you know, you have to be somewhere and that other person needs you, man, it makes life easier.
We're talking with former NFL offensive lineman Michael Orr here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. 2009, your rookie year with Baltimore. It was Joe Flacco's second year, but your offensive line was relatively young. You obviously played right tackle and maybe a little bit at left tackle that year. Did it kind of make it easier that the quarterback was going into his second year, basically kind of the same as you guys, that you could all kind of grow up together? Because the Titans are going to see that now with a young O-line and obviously a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, I think – well, we had guys, a lot of like-minded individuals, especially on the line. I mean, we had Matt Burke, he was like in his 12th year, second, third year guys. We had guys, man, who were mentally worked hard, loved fundamentals, loved being tough. And what I think about with young quarterbacks, they got Bill Callahan, who I think is the best offensive line coach in the last 10 years in the NFL, and you can do your homework on that. And what, when he left the Cowboys, you see where that line went. When he left Cleveland, you see, you know, and on from there. I think he's the best I've seen, especially in the last 10 or 15 years. I've been around some good ones, but he's the best in developing and getting guys to play great ball. And I think what, you know, when I think about Cam Ward, I think about offensive line play, and I think the quarterback coming in from college or any quarterback, if a sack is given up, I don't look at the offensive line. I look at the quarterback first. I look at where his depth is. I look at, you know, his sense of urgency in the pocket. And I think the most important thing is for a young quarterback or any quarterback, it doesn't have anything to do with it. It's about studying. But it's that sense of awareness in the pocket. It's not people say clocks in your mind. You can't be talking about a clock because a clock is 1,001. You have to be 10 seconds ahead. You have to be twitching in that pocket and having that sense of urgency, depth-wise, being where you're supposed to be as far as footwork. And you have to be almost in fast forward as a quarterback. And I think when I look at quarterbacks, the only guys who had that right there, I think, was when I look at it, Peyton Manning was one of them, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. Now, all those guys are great, and some other quarterbacks have it. But, you know, if you don't have that sense of urgency, you know, and being where you're supposed to be in that pocket, it's always going to be a long year. And I think that's what happened to young quarterbacks. They think they have all this time in the world, but, you know, that game's moving 1,000 miles per hour, and you have these pass rushers on the outside. I mean, they're, you know, these guys aren't your normal 15, 20 years ago guys. These guys are running like linebackers, well, you know, linebackers and DBs, right, and all that kind of stuff now. So, you know, the quarterbacks and, you know, the line, I think the line is going to be, you know, fine. But, you know, it's that sense of urgency from everybody. That's what I tell my kids, my son, and everybody. You have to have a sense of urgency every day, even in walkthroughs. You know, you can't walkthrough. You have to be intentional about everything that you do when it comes to NFL football, man, and life in general. You know, life in general, that it all applies. So, you know, it comes down to just that right there. I don't mean to ramble, but, you know, football is very complicated, and I can go another 30 minutes on it, but you know, that's what it comes down to for a young quarterback, I think.
Absolutely. We're talking to Michael Orr. Michael, you played for Ed Orgeron at Ole Miss. How many times did you look at your teammates and say, what the hell did he just say?
Well, you know, I think I understood him a little bit, you know, deal because, you know, we kind of speak the same language. You kind of understand things, man. You know, Coach O, he was definitely a different guy. But, you know, if you were one of the guys that he loved, a physical guy, a guy who was coming to work, every day was a game day. So, you know, we got along quite well. You know, I remember a few years ago, he was telling somebody that I was one of the greatest practice guys he ever been with because I gave it 1,000 miles per hour. But, you know, you always heard him coming down the hall or in the building, and you always went the other way when you heard his voice. Because, you know, you never know what might happen. You know, he got after it. And, you know, if you were his guy, you were his guy. But Jesus, if you weren't, man, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
You played with two of the greatest linebackers who I think in this generation. You played with Ray Lewis in Baltimore, but specifically Patrick Willis at Ole Miss. I've heard stories about him in practice just giving everything he had. What did you learn from those two, from Patrick Willis and Ray Lewis in practice, Michael?
Well, I mean, Ray Lewis, he'd already had his leg, you know, kind of got that and get around him. And you're just in awe all the time. You know, that's great. It's one of probably the best inside linebacker to ever play the game. But, you know, being with Patrick as a young guy, it's all about when coaches are trying to put teams together. You know, you want like-minded individuals, like I said earlier, and you want guys that's every day is a game day. You know, when you're in that team meeting before practice, these you want to be a little bit nervous. You know, game day, you're nervous. You know, I didn't think I had a switch that I could turn on. So on game day, some guys can, but you want guys who always have that switch on. And Patrick, that's how he played every day. That's how we went after it every single day. And for the most, being in Baltimore, Ray Lewis, these guys' switches don't turn off. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I think I got drafted by Baltimore, because they were the only team that brought me in and set me down and got to know me. You know, we went to the combine and meetings were 5 or 10. You can't get to know a guy in 5, 10 minutes. So I sat down in at Baltimore and I met everyone in that building, and they understood what kind of personality I was and the kind of football player I was. So, you know, that you need like-minded individuals when you bring building teams. And, you know, it takes a lot to go out and find, you know, you got to do a lot of homework. You got to do your due diligence, talk to and get to know people. And, you know, I think that's how you build great teams and keep those cores together, is having those like-minded individuals like a Ray Lewis and Patrick Willis.
Michael, speaking of Baltimore, one of your former teammates is one of our teammates, Derek Mason. He told me to tell you hello.
Mace, he's right. I was thinking about Mace. I think he might be there tomorrow, I believe.
He could be, yeah. I mean, he does a lot with NFL alumni, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, Derek Mason, he was a great guy when I got there, man. You know, we didn't have a rookie thing or anything, so. You know, I basically, what I do is I just go get Chick-fil-A on off days or on game day. You know, the guys wanted Popeyes and stuff like that. Well, Derek Mace, man, he was one of the guys. He needed all his special stuff. So, man, he wanted honey for his biscuits. He wanted a certain kind of grape jelly. And, man, I would have to go to 10 different Popeyes. I'd almost be late for the plane to get there, but I'd make sure I had everything he wanted, man. But he was another great guy, just to be around, and just he was all out every day. I mean, he could have played years after he was done playing, man. He's had that kind of ability for a long time. He was, you know, you might see video. I've seen videos where he's talking to different people, but that's, you know, he. Personality-wise, someone to be around, a joy, man. It's not a better guy. That's why I talk about doing your due diligence and having like-minded individuals on the same team, and you know that it builds success.
That is very true, and we're blessed to have him on our team here at 102.5. Hey, we're excited for you about tomorrow, NFL Alumni Training Camp for Dads. It's noon to 4 at the Maddox Grand Atrium at the Curb Center at Belmont. You can come out. You're going to be there. Al Smith, Dexter McCluster, Winston Justice, Brad Hopkins, some others from NFL Alumni. Michael, thanks so much for doing this. Good luck tomorrow, and we'll talk again soon.
Awesome. I'll talk to you guys later on. Have a good rest of the day.
You too. Michael Orff, former NFL offensive lineman, the Ravens, the Titans, and the Panthers, Super Bowl champion, joining us here on the show. And it's for veteran dads, rookie dads, families are going to join. Really cool deal that they're going to be doing tomorrow at Belmont.
I guess we should have asked, does he live here now?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's right. But it was funny when we were, when I was looking up something, I was like, oh, yeah, he played with Derek for a few years in Baltimore. I, like, totally forgot about that. So
don't let that happen again.
I'm sorry. Very, very cool. We'll come back with much more here on this Friday. It is Chase and Big Joe broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Little Whitney on a Friday. Ah, so good.
That's an old school heart you got there, Dr. Crane. That's 1987-88.
Thank you.
Isn't there a rumor this is about someone?
I think it's about you.
I don't say. I think it's Joe's love letter to somebody.
It might be.
To the boss man.
Something like that.
David James.
Hey, tune in tonight. Oh, boy. Tune in tonight to ESPN 94.9 The Fan. The Nashville Sounds will take on the Iowa Cubs pregame at 6:20 First pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. And Sounds Baseball is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Went over there last night. It was a beautiful night for baseball.
Isn't there some Cub pitcher coming down in a rehab tonight or tomorrow?
Oh, is there? I haven't heard that.
Dr. Crane, do you know this?
I do not. Not aware.
I don't remember his name, but evidently he's come down. He's very popular. I was somebody.
Shota Imanaga.
That guy.
Is that who it is?
The Japanese pitcher, yeah.
Is he good?
Very good.
Is he pitching tonight? Or somebody put it out there last night.
Yeah, he's pitching tonight. That is correct.
So evidently a lot of Cubs fans are going to see him at the park tonight.
It was packed last night.
Good.
So I texted our buddy Ryan, who's in Chicago, and I was like, all right, are any of these guys good? And he was like, yeah, the middle three of the lineup are going to be in Chicago very soon.
Okay, good. So, and who were they?
The middle three in the lineup.
It was Ron Say, Sean Dunstan, and Bobby Dernier. All right.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
God, it's funny. I can name off the 84 Cubs, but I literally cannot tell you what I had for dinner two nights ago. That's so sad. Really sad with all that.
It was probably something free.
You son of a... That's probably very correct on that. That's the worst.
Something from a gift card.
Keep going. I'm like a young Greg Pogue, man. Just
hey,
give it to me.
Man. I have learned from the best, okay? I mean, every shirt I wear was given to me. Yeah. Every meal I eat was from a gift card that was given to
Why
me.
Why not, that's, right?
Look, I'm with you.
Yeah, I might as well do all that. take advantage of all those that go
If
on.
It's free, it's for me, and I'll take three.
Oh, exactly.
That's the saying as it goes.
With all those. Yeah, so fun catch up with Michael Orr. I mean, that's a guy that, you know, somebody's like, why didn't you bring up the Blind Side? How many times has he been asked about that?
Right. I mean, it's just... And, like, we like talking about other things with him. I mean, I know that's one of the things he's known for.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's other stuff to discuss.
Exactly.
Coming up next, we'll talk some hockey with Greg Wyshynski, put a bow on the Stanley Cup Final, and also kind of look ahead to what's next for the NHL, the Predators specifically. Do that here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.